Illinois lawmakers decided last week to massively increase the ways people in Illinois can gamble legally, and the purpose is to pay down our longstanding financial debts and to provide some money for infrastructure and other things. It's an 816-page bill, and it has been said that it will transform Illinois into the gambling capital of Midwest. Just some stats here, just briefly. Number of new casinos, bringing to a total of 16. There'll be 4,000-seat mega casinos downtown. Waukegan will add 2,000 positions. There'll be a casino in Rockford. There will be an increase in the number of video gambling machines per location, and to bring the state to a total of no more than 7,000 video gambling machines. We'll create 5,000 sports betting kiosks, and it will also have allow sports betting, and I don't know exactly how that's going to work. So it's going to change Illinois, and it's going to make gambling very much more easy than it has been in the past. Here to discuss the possible ramifications of this massive increase in gambling opportunities is Les Bernalf, who for 11 years has been the national director of the public interest group Stop Predatory Gambling. He's spoken and written extensively about government-sanctioned gambling, including casinos and lotteries and online gambling. He's testified before Congress and appeared on almost every news station you could possibly imagine. Les, thank you so much for joining us here on WGN. Hi, Les.
Thank you for having me.
So let's talk a little bit about is gambling addiction a real thing? For a lot of people, we understand addictions of food and drugs and alcohol and all of those things, but we say to ourselves, is this really something?
Yeah, gambling addiction is one of the most neglected public health issue in the United States today, because state governments across the country are making huge revenues from these addicted gamblers. Like the revenue model for commercialized gambling, whether it's state lotteries in Illinois or, you know, video gambling machines or casinos, it's based upon the out of control addicted gambler. More than 40 to 60% of gambling profits come from the addicted gambler. So we run advertisements encouraging people not to smoke. You know, we run ads encouraging people not to drink and drive. But when it comes to commercialized gambling, state governments, especially Illinois around the country, will do anything they can to keep you gambling as long as possible for as much money as possible, whether it's free alcohol and so on. So it's really, you know, and it's become the public voice of government to most citizens, including Illinois. You know, it's what we advertise more to the American people today than anything else is constant calls to gamble.
Now, you have, I know that I saw something online where you rank the states in order which are the worst for predatory gambling. Could you just describe briefly what you mean by predatory gambling, and where does Illinois fall in this? And obviously, what you wrote was prior to the passage of this new law.
Yeah, so I'm actually glad you asked. I do want to take a minute. When I talk to people who've, you know, gambling has become so normalized today in America that we don't question it, right? That story is true for myself. I never question any of this stuff, what we were doing. I'm from Massachusetts originally. You know, the state lottery was like the paint on the wall. You know, it was just there. I grew up with it.
Right.
But when you start to look back and look at this, what predatory gambling is, and what makes, you know, commercialized gambling different than any other commodity in our country, including other vices like alcohol and tobacco, is that commercialized gambling is a big con game. You know, so citizens are conned into thinking that they can win money on games that are designed, literally designed, in the end, to get you fleeced. You know, so the contrast is, you go out and buy a hamburger, you go to a sporting event, you buy a glass of wine. You know, that's what you receive in return. In commercialized gambling, what you receive is the lure, a lure that you're going to win money. But so it's really a financial exchange, and this financial exchange is mathematically rigged against you, so that inevitably you're going to lose all your money in the end, especially if you keep gambling. So in states like Illinois, like, this is a government program. We're literally, you know, rigging a financial exchange, encouraging its citizens to lose money where they can't get ahead. And the reason why this matters in the big picture, what makes it so predatory, is we're living in a country today where half the country has zero or negative net wealth. Okay, so one out of two people has either zero or negative net wealth. 60% of the population doesn't have $1,000 in the bank for an emergency expense. Yet on every street corner, whether it's in Illinois, you know, every bar and tavern now in Illinois, now they're going to bring it into your home through the internet, you know, for every sporting event and so on. There's constant calls to get people to gamble, to lose money on these rigged games. So asset building, the idea of building wealth, it's the complete opposite of commercialized gambling.
So it's
a huge issue.
When you look at this issue, you know, and I did some research, and gambling has been around literally, I mean, I see 200 BC, there were in China, they were playing all kinds of games with tiles, and they were betting on things. I mean, this is something that people, it's been around forever. This is not something that Illinois just passed, or even horse racing has been around for decades and centuries, actually. So the idea is, and you're saying this, listen, it's meant to fleece people. I would bet that if you talk to a person who's an addicted gambler, that they would agree that their chances are slim, and they do it anyway, right? Is that what happens, or are they so, what I'm saying is the facts are out there for the average person to understand and read them, and why is it that we should be not letting people do what they want to do based on facts that are readily apparent and readily available?
So that's a critical question, and I want to make sure your listeners understand this. What I just described earlier is a form of financial fraud. You know, commercialized gambling, the state promoting these games, you know, that are literally rigged against you. If you and I place a bet with one another, right? So there's different forms of gambling. There's a spectrum of gambling. You and I go bowling together, and you say, Les, you know, I'll bet you $10 on this game, and I lose. You know, I pay you $10. It's a one-time thing. There's no house involved. No one's advertising it. You know, no one's lending me money to participate in it. So there is a spectrum of gambling. What states are doing now, when gambling crosses into the line of doing it for, you know, commercial purposes, doing it for profit, it becomes inherently predatory. So there's any listener out there wondering what's the difference. You know, your office pool, if you have an office pool, you know, for the March Madness bracket, that is far different than placing huge bets on, you know, buying $30 scratch tickets from the lottery or playing slot machines. You know, there's a house involved. So by the house, meaning you're playing against the people running the games. So it's never been illegal for you and I to gamble. What's been illegal for most of American history and what's been criminalized is running those who run the games. Because the best part about this thing, the most compelling part about this scandal of commercialized gambling in America today are the political leaders and all the gambling operators who push all this stuff into people's homes and into people's communities. They don't gamble. Okay, it's the biggest hypocrisy. And they don't gamble themselves because it's a form of financial fraud. Okay, because they know it's rigged against them. They're investing in stocks, bonds, real estate, and half the country doesn't own anything, and they're encouraging all these people to lose these rigged games. So there's a major difference to it. So yes, 2,000 years ago or 20,000 years ago, where people have the urge to gamble, certainly, but to the extent that we're advertising it today, the Illinois lottery, your casinos, they're exempt from truth and advertising laws. You know, so there's clearly a spectrum that gambling, you know, should be, you know, if people want to gamble, make it a private and local activity. It's become the public voice of state government in Illinois and across the country.
Well, have you done any studies or looked at any studies that talk about which are the most pernicious? Is it lottery? Is it horse racing? Is it casino? Is it the video poker that you see all over now? Is it going to be the sports betting on your cell phone? What's the worst addictive type of thing? Or are they all bad in a different way?
Well, so again, there's a spectrum of things. Sorry, so if you and I we go golfing, we have a friendly wager. You know, that's social gambling. That's a different piece. Well, the most addictive forms of gambling are those that are repetitive. It happens very quickly. So, like video gambling machines, where you can gamble every 5 seconds on a machine. You press that button every 5 seconds, wagering. You know, and they let you max your bet. So people are betting $3 or $4 sometimes per. Every 5 seconds, pressing that button. The online gambling they're trying to bring in, you know, watching, when they say sports betting, it's not going to be like a traditional sports bet that many of your listeners may be familiar with. It's not going to be, I'm going to take the Bears, you know, 3.5 points over the Vikings. It's going to be, is the next play in this football game going to be a run or a pass? You know, bet you $50. And you're going to be sitting there watching it on your tablet or your smartphone or on your television. And it's going to be doing it through the internet. every 5 to 10 seconds, again, similar, trying to make that slot machine type experience, that rapid type of play. So so those are the most extreme, most addictive forms. And with online gambling, you know, it's like opening the casino and the lottery retailer, you know, right in your living room, you know, right into every smartphone, every dorm room in the state.
And, you know, I guess if you think about it this way, and do you have a stat, like, just generally on how much people lose in gambling every year?
Actually, I'm so glad you brought that up, because we started talking about that. You know, so we talk about, the amount that people are gambling, and this huge thing is spreading. This goes right to the heart of the lack of opportunity and the financial inequality that's in our country today, you know, the lack of wealth that between, you know, the so-called investor class and everybody else, is that over the next 8 years, the American people are going to lose more than $1 trillion of personal wealth to commercialized gambling. And that doesn't include what Illinois just did, okay? So collectively, as a people, we're going to lose more than $1 trillion of personal wealth to commercialized gambling operated by states in this country. Okay. And so, you know, Congress passes these big bills to, you know, we want to put, you know, this minor tax break, we're going to put more money into people's pockets, or, you know, we're trying to increase the minimum wage to, you know, 12 bucks an hour, whatever. Like, you want to do something real to put more money into the savings, into the wallets of everyday people, is stop promoting and advertising commercialized gambling. If you knock that $1 trillion figure down by even one third over the next 8 years, you're talking about saving the American people, putting, you know, $300 billion into the daily lives of the American people. There isn't a single public policy in our country, not a single one that anybody can dream up, that would put more wealth in the hands of people if states stop promoting and exploiting these extreme forms of gambling.
You're listening to the Karen Conti Show, and we're here with Les Brunet, who is the national director of the public interest group Stop Predatory Gambling. When we come back from our break, we're going to be talking to a recovering gambling addict in addition to continuing this conversation. Stay with me. You're listening to the Karen Conti Show on WGN.
Raised on pool and poker and a dollar here and there. Blackjack hand, dealer man, you better pay off that last bet. Two-bit hand of 21, that's all I ever get. Go down, gamble.
We're talking about gambling. We're talking about Illinois' new laws that are going to make Illinois the mecca for gambling in the Midwest. And I'm here with Les Brunet, who for 11 years has been the national director of the public interest group Stop Predatory Gambling. Les, thank you for joining me. And I'm going to introduce our next guest, and you suggested this person, Les. Her name is Jolene, and she's a recovering gambling addict. Jolene, thank you so much for coming on the show. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you for having me.
Can you tell our listeners a little bit about your story, about how you got into gambling and how it got you into some trouble?
Sure. Well, it started about 15 years ago. I had never visited a casino, but I started meeting family for a weekly visit to have lunch at a casino, and I would play a little bit. Well, one day I won a jackpot, and that pretty much did it for me. I kept wanting to go to try to, recreate that feeling that I got when I won. It wasn't so much about the money. It was about the feeling. And then as I continued to play, I noticed that I wasn't going to try to win something. I was just going to stay in front of the machine, because it kind of puts you in a trance. And I would go in the middle of the night. I would go for hours and hours and hours, and it just continued for a very long time. And I wasn't exactly sure why I kept harming myself, because I would do something called play to extinction, which means you play until you lose everything. Even if you win something, you sit there until you lose all your money. And, of course, that makes no sense, and a normal person would say, don't do that, and you're fixed. But it wasn't fixed for me, because I kept doing it. So I read a lot of books. I did a lot of research to try to figure out why I was doing what I was doing. And I got a lot of information from Natasha Schall's book, Addiction by Design, Machine Gambling in Las Vegas. And she primarily talks about slot machines. And when she talks about them, she describes something that caught me, and that's called entering the machine zone. So current slot machines, different than like the three reel where you put the coin in, you pull the lever, they're very fast. The gaming machines that you can play in Illinois, outside of casinos, now at gas stations, laundromats, grocery stores, the ones that are expanding everywhere, you can push the button 600 times an hour, and you can bet $2 a spin. Since the expansion allowed these machines to go up to $4 a spin, so, you know, you can lose some serious money there. And for me, it was just staying in that animated state of, like, suspension called the machine zone. And it looks like, I have something jotted down here, that it's in her book it says the slot machines are mapped to psychologically addict the player. And that's what was going on for me. And even though I understood it, it was still very hard for me to keep myself from doing it. Because somewhere in that mix, the dopamine receptors get influenced in the brain. So you kind of become addicted to the highs and the lows.
And Julian, I just want to make a comment that just coming from the person who doesn't have that type of addiction, but I've always, unless you can weigh in on this, you know, casinos are so glamorized, right? It's a pretty women and men all dressed up in tuxedos, and they're having a nice cocktail, and they're enjoying themselves, and the racetrack is a beautiful place with people in hats, and it's a sunny day at Arlington. But for the most part, if you spend any time in those kinds of venues, people there are not very happy. I mean, these are people who look almost like they're in a trance, right? They're betting and losing, and they get right back up and they bet some more, and they look desperate. And it's all under this idea that this is entertainment. And I guess it is for some people, or it could be, but I guess it isn't for most, right? Les, I mean, is that what they're selling us?
As we started this conversation, like, this is a, when you commercialize gambling, it's a financial exchange. Like, this is a form of financial fraud. And so the experience, the whole concept of entertainment and all that is just to make you feel good as you're losing all your cash. And that's how they market it. They spend so much money and research trying to design these machines, and the whole experience of gambling, whether it's lottery tickets, you know, machine gambling, now potentially online gambling, to suck you in, and, you know, free to play, you know, that's the new thing. Start make you think it's just like a video game, free to play, and all of a sudden you're hooked on this stuff, and you lose everything. Like, people lose tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of dollars, you know, over 2 or 3 years, oftentimes, to what is at its core. This is a government program doing this. This isn't somebody illegally selling opioid or heroin or something on a street corner. This is a government program that's openly advertised and marketed to the people of Illinois on every street corner, every bar and tavern, laundromats, you know, and now they're trying to push it into your home in terms of online casino type gambling.
Joylene, I've got only just a few minutes left, and I want to give out some numbers for people, but you sound like you obviously got the right information, and you're a self-aware person, and you made a point to understand your addiction and to deal with it. But did you have any losses that were permanent, and did you have some really bad things that happened in your life? I see people committing crimes as a lawyer. You know, they're embezzling from their job during the day. They're going to the casino at night to try to rectify it, and they're going back, and they're stealing more money, and their spouse may be stealing money from their job to cover the mortgage, and it's disastrous. I mean, did you have some of those things happen to you?
Sure, I have. I've stayed up so late that, you know, until the casino basically kicks me out when they have to clean in the morning and, you know, wreck my car on the way home and, you know, make six figures a year and have to try to find quarters to wash my car because it turns you into basically you're a functioning addict. Some people can function where they pay their bills, but they have nothing left. And then psychologically, you're broken. The psychological impact it has is more damaging than the financial fallout. I mean, and people say only poor people do that. That's not true. There was a woman in Florida. She won over a $7 million jackpot at Seminole Casino. She put it all back and then embezzled $500,000 to fuel her addiction. Oh, so it's not, it starts kind of with a lure, but once you're addicted, it is an addiction. It's not about, oh, I'm going to win $500. I'm going to stop when I spend $100. It's not that. It's the psychological hijacking that goes on with these slot machines. And now that they're everywhere, more people are going to be playing them, more people are going to become addicted.
Les, can you give out some numbers for people if you think you have a problem, or if you have a loved one or a friend or a family member and you'd like to step in and get them some help, where would they go, Les?
Well, I have 2 points to that. So I am going to give a phone number, but it's important that your listeners understand that there's virtually no money that's invested to help people who are problem gamblers, because the state is, half the profits come from these addicted gamblers. So if you actually spent the money it takes to treat all the people who are addicted, you know, the state essentially would be bankrupt. It would cost like $30,000 or $40,000 a year to sponsor these folks, to help these folks. And, you know, it costs, you know, into the billions of dollars. So the whole scheme would blow up in the state's face. But for those, and I will say the only real cure for gambling, commercialized gambling addiction, is really accessibility. So it's to pull back the amazing amount, the outrageous amount of gambling that's pushed into our people's communities. But nonetheless, the number that I would start out with is the National Gamblers Anonymous Hotline, because there really isn't a good treatment program in Illinois that folks can call that's, you know, that's universal. So I'm going to give this number out.
Sure.
The National Hotline for Gamblers Anonymous is 888-424-3577.
Les, thank you so much for joining us. We could talk about this again, and we probably will, but thank you for joining us. And Jolene, I very much appreciate you coming on and sharing your story with us. You're listening to The Karen Conti Show on WGN.